Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquenceonline.net in beautiful, although rainy, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And this is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Today, the name of the episode is Purse Power. Ladies have it, they use it. And we're going to talk to our guest today about what you know, you can't watch everything, you can't see everything online. But when I found this organization, I'm just like everybody else that pre-searched, just kind of looking through their elegant, beautiful, elegant website, by the way. And it's right there in the episode description. We're going to talk to Donna Miller. She's got so many letters after her name. You could literally score like 80 points in Scrabble. There's so many letters after her name. And when you hear her bona fides and all the stuff that she's done academically, sort of makes my little 4-year college degree from the University of Texas at San Antonio seem pretty slight. Maybe I had to think about getting back to school. Of course, I would not be doing this show were it not for Billy Graham. I grew up here in Texas, and at night, a generation and a half before Pandora and XM radio, and really even FM radio. I had a little AM transistor radio, and late at night, all you could get were those old radio, revival radio preachers, and they would rotate them. And when Billy Graham was on, I did everything I could to stay up late, and many nights drifted off to sleep. I would walk through the house doing my impersonation of Billy Graham. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He sees the sparrow fall. Verily I say unto you. And my mom I would just love that. I would say that to my sisters across the hallway. Verily I say unto you, go to sleep. Stop all that giggling. Very, very sad news. And again, as seems to be the case with every big news story now, I do not hear about it on television or the radio. Social media. It's on social media. That's not the only thing that has changed, obviously, with 50 years on God's green earth, even though I don't look it. But when I was maybe in second grade, you actually take a little lesson, I forget what class it was in, on how to address a letter. And the people, the millennials are going, what do you mean address a letter? Just a letter, ABC, no, a letter, like you mail a letter to somebody. You put, you fold it up, you put it in the envelope. And the teacher told us, put the stamp on the upper right-hand corner, put your address in the upper left-hand corner. Well, and you were going to send it to your mom or dad. Oh, I love you, mom, whatever. And so to my mom, I was taught you make that out to Mrs. John Dias. Now, that would save the 21st century women's history student, women's studies professor into a safe space. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. It's just the way things were done back then. And one of the biggest changes I've seen, I used to give a keynote session called Girl Power, the Emergence of the Female Decision Maker in the American Household. The household CFO nowadays is Mrs. Arlene Dias, as would be the case in my parents' house down in Universal City, Texas, Republic thereof. But it's true. Purse Power. Ladies have it, and they use it. And I came across this cool brand called PursePower.com. And like I said, I highly, highly encourage you to check out their website. Very, very interesting. We're going to talk to Donna Miller. She's a co-founder of Purse Power, and she spent more than 30 years with hands-on experience as an executive in Fortune 500 companies. She's an award-winning talent management consultant and a professional certified executive coach. And we're going to talk to her right after this.
Oh,
not at all the same girl you used to know. Her name is Donna Miller. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
It is so very nice to have you on the show. Yes.
Great to be here.
The all-male studio audience applauding. Great, great cover. Same girl from the Swing Out Sister back in 1993. But listen, tell us a little bit about PursePower.com. Tell us why people should go check that out.
All right, perfect. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience here. A few years ago, my sisters and I were on vacation in Miami, and we were talking about our frustration with the lack of women in senior leadership positions. Also, there are 1 out of 4 women that are impacted by domestic violence or sexual assault.
Right.
Our mom was a brilliant, beautiful, talented nursing professor, author, and activist who was also a survivor. And all 3 of us have MBAs. My 2 sisters are medical doctors. And our mom raised us to be strong, independent women and that we needed to make a difference in the world. And so that's what we're all about. And when we began to discuss what we could do to drive some positive change, we realized that women already had the power in their hands to drive change. We thought if we could get women to use their enormous economic power to buy from companies that actively create opportunities for women, we could shatter glass ceilings in a matter of quarters rather than decades. And in addition to that, we wanted to go ahead and use a portion of the proceeds to create a funding stream to support battered women's shelters. We shared the idea with our friends and family, and Purse Power was born. Now we're working to become the primary source to find and buy from women-owned and women-led companies in the U.S. And we want to play a role in creating a world where our daughters, granddaughters, sons, grandsons, nieces, and nephews can achieve their dreams regardless of their gender.
Wow. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, one of the things I love doing when I'm doing the show is listening for things that I can tweet out after the show. And you just said one, solve this in quarters, not in years. That's one of the things that I find so appealing about what y'all are doing. There's a certain immediacy to it. There are plenty of organizations out there that talk about this stuff, but I was able to go to your site and see that y'all are doing very, very tangible things. Our audience is primarily banking, and that's an area where sometimes you see a lack of female, well, not sometimes, you do see a lack of female representation at the very, very top of some of the big banks. And I wanted to ask you, how much of that is generational and how much of that is really maybe a legitimate bias or legitimate discrimination or sometimes even an unintentional discrimination when people look at women in those kinds of leadership positions?
It's really complex, okay? I know that this is not a simple answer. I think that men and women are kind of equal in the work environment when you come in at the entry level. And the first gap tends to start at the very first supervisory position. About 30% more men are promoted into supervisory positions than women are. And then the gap just continues to grow from there. And if you look at the statistics, there are less and less and less women moving into more senior level roles as you go up in the organization. So I'm not saying this is necessarily intentional. I think there's unconscious bias that exists, both by men and women, about what a leader, quote unquote, looks like. And I think that factors into the equation. And then as the other thing that tends to happen is women tend to get into staff kinds of roles, finance, marketing, HR, things like that. And it's actually the operational roles that lead to the top of the organization. So in banking, that would be whatever, probably running your branches and things like that. If women tend to get into the staff roles, they also kind of reach a dead end in terms of getting to senior leadership positions. So it's just complicated.
I'll tell you, one of the reasons this appealed to me on a lot of different levels, like I said, we've done this show. We've done shows called Girl Power. I spoke professionally using that as the title of my keynote session, Girl Power. So I've always been interested in this because I've always thought – I'm Gen X. I'm not whining about it. I'm cynical about it. But I was told many, many times when I started my speaking career, even though I was in my early 30s, that I could not do strategic planning sessions because I looked too young. People would tell me that. And so it wasn't that they were trying to be unkind or discriminatory. They weren't being unkind. They were being discriminatory. But they understood their audience of board members who were well into their 60s and 70s many times. And I remember thinking, you know, I get that. But, you know, it didn't happen once or twice. It happened, you know, a dozen times. And in those days when you would make maybe $2,500, $3,500 for a strategic planning session, that adds up pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. so I could understand generationally where those guys were coming from. And they were all guys, by the way, that told me that, which is interesting. And I think it still does happen. Even subconsciously, I think we look and we see, like you said, you were the guy was the president of the IT department. He makes more sense to promote to the chief information officer versus the female who is in the marketing department and actually has a better understanding of how social media works and how online banking and the mobile marketplace work. It sounds like that's kind of what you're saying. It may not be intentional. It just kind of seems to be ongoing.
Yeah, so part of it is we've got to make it more visible and understand what those unconscious biases are and make an effort to overcome them. You know what I mean? And this is both men and women from my perspective.
How do y'all do that? Do you still go out and do spoken sessions and stuff like that where you talk about what y'all are trying to accomplish with PursePower.com?
Yes, I end up doing a lot of speaking engagements and telling people what we're trying to accomplish. And the other thing is people are always surprised when I present the statistics, and I'll just do them at a very high level right now. These are from Catalyst, and Catalyst has been studying gender in the workplace and race in the workplace for years and years. Is if you look at the total employee base in the S&P 500, for example, about 44% of it is female. By the time you get to the board level, it's 21.2%, and when you get to the CEO jobs, it's less than 6%. 5.2%
wow.
of CEOs nationally for the S&P 500 are women. And it's really, when you look at the performance of companies, just FYI, companies perform better when they've got more women in leadership. It's actually proven. They've done research to prove it. And the companies that, for example, that have the highest the number of women in the senior leadership positions, their return on invested capital is 66% higher. The return on sales of the highest companies with more women in leadership had outperformed the lowest by 42%. There's statistics that prove that companies are more effective when you get more women in leadership, and it's hard to justify in this day and age why we wouldn't. From a performance standpoint, factual standpoint.
Wow, it is fascinating. And, of course, all those stats are on the website. Like I said, and I think I told you this in the pre-show, I always sort of check a website in three different areas here in the studio, on my iPad and on my phone. And it's very, very easy to look through this. Very, 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 very interesting stuff. And like I said, you're right. It can be complicated because I do believe that some of it is discrimination. I really do. I think people still look. I mean, even subconsciously, I told you in the pre-show, I do it. I notice when a police officer is female. I notice when the pilot of the Southwest Airlines 737 is a female. When, you know, it shouldn't be something that you notice anymore. Now, I'm not worried. I would be happy if I feel totally safe when I'm flying Southwest Airlines. I feel totally safe when a female officer is at a sporting event or something like that. But I would like to find out more about how much of it is just generational and how much of it just continues to be maybe a blind spot that people have. And like you said, men and women both may have it. I did want to ask you, let's just say in a perfect world, you could get every single, you know, CEO in the U.S. in a room. What would you tell them about this issue?
First of all, that I don't know if they're aware of this, but women make between 73 and 85% of all purchasing decisions. So if you think about your own household, it is highly likely that women are making a lot of those purchasing decisions to the tune of $7 trillion a year.
Wow.
So your customers, the ones buying from you, in great part probably are women. All right? So as a business leader, it makes sense that you have the leadership of your organization reflect your customer base. And for me, that's the gap that I don't understand. Given our economic power as women, given the purchasing decisions that are made, how does it then make sense that women aren't reflected in senior leadership positions? The other thing is it's not just a nice-to-have thing. Again, companies perform better. The other thing you need to know is that women, they control 51% of the wealth in the country. They make or influence 67% of the purchasing decisions. And it's projected that with the baby boomers dying off, that they're going to control 70% of the wealth in this country for the next two generations. So why wouldn't you want to have more women in senior leadership representing the customers that you're trying to serve?
And you just, and you just described the key signature of our show. We talk about generational stuff all the time, and I totally agree with you. That is a that is maybe one of the biggest changes I've seen in my lifetime. You know, like I said, when I was young, it really was sort of, you know, dad took care of the money. But well, you're right. Mom decided what we bought at the grocery store and elsewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you as CEOs, you want to attract the best talent. You want to retain the best talent. You want to have the highest performance. I mean, the companies that have gender equity have lower turnover, lower attrition, higher productivity, higher retention. Why wouldn't you want to be an employer of choice for the highest quality talent you can get your hands on, half of which are women?
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break when we get back. I want to ask you what you enjoy doing when you're not at work. What kind of hobbies and stuff you enjoy? You're listening to Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Because as you just heard, if you're not making that experience something that women enjoy, you're going to be missing out on a tremendous amount of business. We'll be right back after this. We're back. We're visiting with Donna Miller. I meant to ask you before we get to that question. There's a big mission in this about supporting folks that are trying to put an end to domestic violence. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I'm on the board of the YWCA, which runs the battered women's shelters in Oklahoma County. And I don't know whether people are aware of this, but 1 out of 4 women are impacted by domestic violence. If you look around a room of women, 1 out of 4 are impacted. And from my perspective, I really believe that domestic violence is a root cause of all evil. I think that a lot of society's ills come from what children learn at home and what children see at home. So a big piece of what we're trying to do is create an ongoing revenue stream. So being on this board of a battered women's shelter, I'm out fundraising all the time. And I thought there's got to be a better way. Can we create a revenue stream to fund battered women's shelters and use business to do it? So that's a big part of what we're trying to accomplish with Purse Power as well.
Yeah, that's a great, great thing. It's I'm not one of those sentimental people that say 30 years ago I was here, but 31 years ago I was in the Army in the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, and before the groundwork kicked off, we were driving through Riyadh. I was on the security detail of the Commandant of the Prince Faisal Air Base, and we came upon a scene of the Saudis have a very, very different culture than the Western culture, and this I'll never forget. This lady was being, you know, kind of roughed. Well, not kind of. She was getting roughed up by these guys because she had been caught driving a car. And of course, women weren't allowed to drive cars back in those days. And like any Westerner, I went to intervene, and they told, "Hey, Jason, you can't do that. This is just the way things are done in the kingdom." And I just remember thinking, "Godly, this is." You know, sometimes when I talk to people, I want to know what you're doing with Purse Power. I know you're in Oklahoma, but you're on a show that can be heard anywhere in the world. Are there things that organizations like yours can do to more effectively bring attention to some of those places in the world where women are literally treated like second-class citizens?
Well, let's see here. It is a problem everywhere. To be quite honest, it's a problem in the U.S. So
yeah.
I think that we need to start here. And the other thing that people tend to believe is that it's there's some kind of race component to it or socioeconomic component to it, and in reality, there's not. It happens
right.
At all level, all races,
all
socioeconomic groups. Yeah. So I think it's a big part of not shielding our eyes from it, recognizing that this is going on. And then we absolutely need men involved in helping to solve the problem. We really do.
Well, I'm involved. Like I said, when I asked the question of my women's history professor when I was at UTSA, a wonderful lady. We didn't agree on anything, but she was a wonderful educator. I said, is this stuff you're talking about, how does it not apply to women? Because I had just come home from home from the war. And I would always use the example, if your house is on fire and you're running out of your house, you don't stop to fix the garbage disposal that might be broken. But I do see what you're saying. Let's start here in the United States and work outwards. Folks, check them out at PursePower.com. Spread the word. You'll see all of their social media sites. It says, follow us, tell your friends, and change the world. And I love that. Let's do it in a quarter, not in a year. Hey, listen, when you're not working, when you're not doing all this stuff, what kind of stuff do you enjoy doing just for fun? Because you can't work all the time.
Well, this is a passion project, just for reference. So this is fun, right? This is something I've dreamed about doing my entire life, and I'm thrilled to death to be doing this kind of work. It's very engaging to me, and I feel like I'm hopefully going to make a difference. I have got triplet 18-year-olds, so I've got two boys
and
a girl that are getting ready to leave the nest, maybe. So they're what I do the rest of the time.
Oh, I am the parent of an only child. He's 17 and as good and godly a young man as you're ever going to meet. But whenever I hear people say stuff like that, three triplets, the first thing, only thing I can think of is the laundry, the food they must eat. Oh, my goodness. You talk about that. Holy cow. Well, listen, I told you in the pre-show, one thing I love about the radio is it captures charm and it captures passion, which you clearly have for what you're doing. I wanted to thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join us. I am 1,000% convinced that we're going to have you back on, maybe to have this as an ongoing thing that we talk about. And I want to wish you the very, very best, you and everything that you're doing with Purse Power. Thank you so very, very kindly.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Great job, Donna Miller, everybody. Wow. Great. Check out the website. A lot of great data. And if this is something you're passionate about, you can find out what companies to buy stuff from. You know, when you're put the commercials on mute at night, as I do, and jump on over to see what's happening on the online marketplace. They've got great, great resources for you out there, PursePower.com. And of course, like I said, the link is embedded right there in the episode description here on the show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? You might be leaving the audience wanting even more if you are promoting and hiring the right people to your senior levels of leadership at your brand, whether it's a bank or a credit union or a car dealership, a grocery company, whatever it might be. Donna and her crew are on a mission. And I love that. I love that tempo. The tempo of the marketplace has changed. Enough talking. I do not reward intentions. I like rewarding results, and they've got them, and they've got the stats and everything to prove it. My name is Jason Dias. You've been listening to The Power Performance, proof that you can get conference quality information without the expense report. And even though it drives those guys up in Madison, Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. crazy as they head out to the GAC, until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Take care. Bye.
And that's all, folks.